Good morning, beloved ones.
My soul says yes. So turn to somebody and say, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, my soul says yes. Yes to my good. Well, this is the Christmas season. It is a time for holiday classics and Christmas miracles. I was watching last night one of my favorite films, It's a Wonderful Life. Was on, did anybody else see that? Well, anyway, it was on last night with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And as you know the story, some of you may not, but it's the story of this gentleman named Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey. And he's a loan savings and loan officer. He has a business. And he's a good guy, you know. He does what the banks refuse to do, and he gives people loans that would never get one and helps people to take care of their savings. A wonderful, wonderful guy. Anyway, so the story goes on as he does all this good work, but all of a sudden there's a tragedy that happens, and he can't find some money that's due, and fearful that the banks are gonna come and shut him down, and he's just distraught about this. He's really just caught up in what's gonna happen financially to his business. He's worked so hard to keep it and his family, and anyway, he gets so down and depressed, and someone, his evil competitor, made a statement that says, you know, your life is worth more with you being dead than alive, you know, meaning he could cash in his insurance and get more money to pay off his debt. So he's thinking about this, and he comes to a bridge, and he's thinking and sweating, and maybe that he should just, you know, end his life and just jump off this bridge, you know. And I thought, well, how many of us have ever been to the brink where you thought if there was a bridge, you know, around, I certainly would jump off it. And so as he's contemplating that, all of a sudden he hears like a splash, and he looks and there's somebody in the water. And so he just instinctively jumps in the water and he saves this being. And little does he know it's his guardian angel. And he's jumped in the water and so that he could give George an opportunity to save him and therefore save his own life. And so he does that, and, you know, but George doesn't have any idea of who this is, and they come out of the water, and, you know, and he's talking to this gentleman, and he's just saying that, you know, he wished his life, he'd never been born. So I wish I'd never been born. And so the angel, Clarence is his name, you know, he says, okay, he says, well, this might be a good thing for him to see. So he allows him to, he grants him his wish, and in that instant, all of a sudden, George Bailey's life doesn't exist. So when he goes to talk to the people that he loves, and they don't recognize him, and life is very different. It's very bleak. His wife was a spinster, and, you know, an old, she wasn't there, and all of his good friends, their lives didn't turn out as well as when he was alive and had interacted with them, and he was able to help them and assist them with loans and to better their lives, and so their lives take a negative turn. And so he's looking at all this, and he's like, you know, in despair, and he's like, wow, what's happening? And then finally, he comes to a place where he recognizes that, you know, the money isn't all important. It's these people and the lives of these people and the value that they really have for him. And he gets to see the impact that he had on their lives. And then he begins to say, I want to live. And in that instant, of course, then he automatically is changed. His life is changed. His perspective is changed because he gets to see what's really of value to him, family, friends, you know. And so his life is returned back to before. And he's so happy and he's so overjoyed and he's not worried about the money. He runs to his family and, you know, hugs his children and everything is right. And then all of a sudden, the people in the town start coming and they start giving, you know, donations, giving their savings and things that they had so that he could, his business could be saved. And I love that story because then it comes out to be a wonderful life. See, the wonder of life is not in necessarily how much money we have or even in our financial woes or our challenges. The wonder of life and the beauty of life is contained with how much love can we give and share with one another. How much love do we have through family and friends? Because that's what makes someone rich. And the end is the end that's at the end line says, something like, this is George Bailey, the richest man alive. See, he's the richest man alive. And I just love that really story. So it was like a Christmas miracle that happens, you know. And I thought, well, they'll probably show. They had the Wizard of Oz on last night as well. I'm waiting for the Miracle on 34th Street. That's another classic. But this is the time for that, right? This is a time for a sense of wonder and a sense of what's really of value in our lives. Because how many of us really would wish that an angel, whether it's Clarence or Gabriel or whoever, but an angel would come and show up in our lives, or that miracle, some type of miracle would manifest for us right now. Anybody here need a miracle to manifest in your life right now? Yeah, we would like that. We would love for an angel to bring us, you know, some powerful good news that would really bless us. Last week I talked about the angel Gabriel and his bringing good news to both Zechariah and to Mary about the birth of their sons, John the Baptist and, of course, Jesus. And he brought extraordinary news to both of them, extraordinary news, transforming, life-transforming news, world-changing news. And I thought, I wonder how I would respond if an angel appeared before me. Have you ever wondered how you would respond if an angel of God would appear before you? But what would it take? What does it take to have an angel show up in our lives? Now, I believe that there are angels amongst us. I don't think they're walking around with wings and all that kind of stuff. I think they look like you and I. Have you ever had an angel show up just when you needed something? And someone showed up with that right thing. And I thought, well, this is nothing but God. You were my angel. So how would you respond and what would you do? And what does it really take for us to be open and receptive so that the angels of God, the angels of heaven, could appear before us? And what would your response be if an angel of God not only appeared before you, but had some tremendous request of you? What would you do if an angel asked you to do something that was larger than your own capability of doing? What if it was a messenger from God that said, look, it's God saying, look, I need you to do me this solid. I got something for you. I need you to, it's going to be challenging. It might be a little, you know, challenging or beyond what you think you're capable of, but I need you to carry out my divine purpose and a promise that I have, or my work that I'm trying to do. And it's larger than you. And you might be criticized. You might not be understood. You might be reviled. I don't know. But what would you do? Would you say yes? I don't know. Well, we know that that's exactly what happened to some of the people who were involved in the birth of Jesus, right? They were faced with something great and tremendous. And so I wanted to look at some of the common elements that were involved in, that each of them had, and that was involved in this Christmas story. Now, we already talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary last week, but I still want to go a little deeper because the story is not finished. There was a little bit more to the story. And I even want to include this time Joseph, the husband-to-be of Mary. So let's kind of pick up where we left off last week. And again, I'm reading the story because at Christmas, and I like to read the story. It's a bit long, but just open your heart and we can listen. This part we know about. God is, Gabriel has just come to Mary. And I want us to begin to read, as I listen to to glean this common thread that's amongst them. So the angel has already talked to Mary about her upcoming pregnancy and of Elizabeth. And I'm reading from Luke 1. Verse 26 through 80. Now, this portion we already heard last week. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened," Mary, the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." And then the angel left. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "You are blessed by God above all other women, and your child is blessed. What an honor this is that the mother of my Lord should visit me. When you came in and greeted me, my baby jumped for joy the instant I heard your voice. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And Mary responded with this song of praise. "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God, my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And now, generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the mighty one, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. He scatters the proud and the haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. Now it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, and it was a boy. The word spread quickly to her neighbors and relatives that the Lord had been very kind to her, and everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, all the relatives and friends came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they asked the baby's father, communicating to him by making gestures. He motioned for a writing tablet. And to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Wonder fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "I wonder what this child will turn out to be, for the hand of the Lord is surely upon him in a special way." Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy, Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant with them, the covenant he gave to our ancestor Abraham. We've been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and in righteousness forever. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. And John grew up and became strong in spirit. Then he lived out in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. And then we hear from Joseph. This is Matthew 1, verses 18 to 24. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, which said, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Wow. It's a long story, but did you catch the common thread through each of the readings? Did you? Yes, I hope so. Mary asked the angel in Luke 1, "Well, how will I have a baby?" And the angel said, right, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the baby born to you will be holy and he'll be called the Son of God." And when I read about Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, "At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with" what? "The Holy Spirit." And then it said of Zechariah, when he came out, that Zechariah then said his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave his prophecy. And then when we got to Joseph, it simply said he fell asleep, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And when Joseph woke up, he simply did what the angel commanded. So it seems then that once the angel of God appears, right? It appeared to them, they were soon filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? They were filled with the presence of the Most High God in expression, in action. And Mary and Zechariah then, they burst forth into this long praise, this song of praise and prophecy. Mary gave praises And Zechariah began to prophesy. These long soliloquies, praise and gratitude and joy and thanksgiving seem to come into the heart when the Spirit of God moves in you and upon you. When God moves in your life and upon your life, automatically praise, gratitude, joy, thanksgiving, prophecy comes into your being. You may even, right, when you prophesy, you are speaking the truth. All of a sudden, what came out of their mouths was truth. You speak the truth. And, you know, this wonderful experience of having been overtaken by the Holy Spirit. And so, because we all want to be able to not only praise, but we want to prophesy. We want to know what's to come. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to know what the future holds for them? Everybody, we all like that. We're nosy. We want to know what's going to happen in the future. Well, the only way that you can know that you know that you know is when, or to prophesy on any level, is when you allow the Holy Spirit to overcome you, to come upon you. Because the Holy Spirit, if you remember, Jesus said, was what? That comforter, but it was also the revelator. It's also the teacher. It's also the guide. It's the Spirit that moves us into action, but it also brings us wisdom. It brings us the truth, right? The remembrance of truth. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your remembrance everything I've said. It's going to reveal the truth to us and guide us. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But what happens is you have to be in touch with the whole Spirit of God in action. You've got to be willing to be open and receptive to that divine teacher within, to the prophet within, to the teacher within, to the divine guide within, so that you begin to know that you know that you know. Elizabeth, as soon as Mary came, she automatically knew that Mary was blessed and favored. She automatically knew that the child that Mary was carrying was going to be called the Son of God. The angel didn't tell Elizabeth. Zechariah didn't tell Elizabeth. Mary didn't even tell Elizabeth. Elizabeth was told by the Holy Spirit, woo! Mary, there's some stuff going on here. She knew that within her heart and in her soul. Blessed are you amongst women. So what we're looking for then is to be able to figure out how we can come in touch with the Spirit. The only one who really didn't say that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but it was Joseph. Joseph didn't even need the Holy Spirit. He just acted. Joseph didn't question. He didn't say anything. It said when he awoke from that dream, he got up and he simply did what the angel commanded him to do. See? So he was a man of action, very quiet. Didn't need a lot of words. He followed the commands. So if we are going to give birth to this Christ Spirit within his friends, then we're going to have to come, if we want to come into our full expression as divine beings and as spiritual beings and as children of the Most High God, then we're going to have to learn how to follow and adapt to these powerful qualities that I see exhibited within all of these people, which is one, we're going to have to learn how to become surrendered. They all had to surrender, right? To be open and receptive. Even Zechariah surrendered at a point. So we have to be surrendered, open, and receptive to the Spirit of God within us and throughout every phase of our being. We're going to have to be open to praise and thanksgiving and gratitude and joy, because each of them had a sense of joy and gratitude that they expressed, right? And most of all, we're going to have to be able to give our sacred yes. Because once the angel appeared, or once this divine, and the angel simply metaphysically represents divine ideas, a high exalted thought, spiritual thoughts and revelations. But once the angel appears, once it appears in your consciousness, then, and to them, they had to say yes to whatever was proposed to them. See, nothing is really forced upon us by God. We don't have a God that says, I'm going to make you do so and so, because we're not puppets. We have free will, right? There may be a destiny, but we have free will as to how we're going to fulfill our destiny. There's a free will. We are called co-creators with God. At some point, we have to participate. We have to say, you know what? Yes, God, to that divine idea. There's a process that takes place in consciousness and in heart, but it must involve your yes on some level. You've got to be, even the scripture says, you know, you've got to ask for the Holy Spirit, right? To come and do it. You've got to ask in my name. You've got to say yes. You've got to call it forth. There's something you must do in the process. And when we begin to say yes, once we truly become open and receptive to spirit, to the divine, in a really deep and authentic soul-affirming way, when you really say yes, then you are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You know, Mary said, "Woo, let it be done." When you say yes, then you are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, meaning that we are then filled with this creative, life-altering energy and spirit that produces something divine in us. That produces something creative and something wonderful and something miraculous in our life and in our affairs. See, we all want to be blessed beyond measure. We all want to have miracles, right? We want miracles to abound in our lives. But we haven't really made ourselves ready vessels for the miracle. We don't really offer ourselves as receptive vessels and vehicles for God to work through. I just want you to give me a miracle. Just have it show up in my life. I really don't want to have to do anything. I just want it to be there. We don't allow ourselves to be that receptive vessel through which God works. God works through us. Through our hands, through our hearts, through our minds, through our bodies, through our spirits. We are the vessels that will shine the light of God. But we want these miracles, but we haven't given ourselves to be whole and complete. We haven't given our authentic yes. Yes, God, use me. Yes, God, direct and guide me and direct and guide my life according to your purpose and your will for my life. Yes, God, you know, use me in a tremendous way. See, we want to use God, but we don't necessarily want to be used by God. That's just the truth. See, we don't want to. But listen, when you allow yourself to become pregnant with God, filled with the Spirit, your life will never be the same. Because you will be living and operating on a different vibration, on a different level. You will be empowered from on high. You will be given this transformative power, miracle working power, divine power, supernatural power, when you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to overpower you, right? Your limited sense of being. The angel said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the baby will be born, that you have will be born, will be holy. When you let the whole Spirit of God take over your life, and we haven't, many of us have not done that. We keep a little portion for ourselves, right? I kind of know what's going on. I'm the director of my life. But when you let the whole Spirit of God take over your life, every aspect of your life, when you let God come over you, when you let the Spirit overshadow you and give expression, then whatever you give expression to will be holy. It will be divine. It will be something that is so miraculous. When you can really get yourself out of the way and you let the divine presence of the God in you be in and through and as you, all of a sudden, friends, miracles will abound for you. It'll be a wonderful experience for you. So here's the thing. We've got to really tune into our sacred yes. We've got to recognize that when I give myself to God, I will become a former shadow of myself. See, when you let God overshadow you, you become a shadow of your former self. Behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. Your new sense of who you are. Miracles will become commonplace for you. Guidance will simply be revealed. You won't have to be, oh, praying God, what should I do? You will know. The angel will come to you and reveal to you, do this, do that, go here. Miracles will abound, guidance will come to you, and you'll be moved with swift action like Joseph. You won't have to be questioning that, God, who is it? What? You want me to marry Mary? And how does she become pregnant? He didn't say any of that. He got up and did what the angel commanded him to do. We'll be all of a sudden moved to swift and clear action. You'll begin to know things that you don't know that you know, and even how you know. You'll be like Elizabeth. You'll just be, woo, this is what's taking place. You will intuitively know. All of a sudden, you'll be creative. You'll be filled with this creative spiritual energy and power. Because when the Holy Spirit overshadows you, there's a creative element that comes forth. You'll be in your consciousness. You'll be working with the Spirit of God. But you must be ready with your yes. Are you ready to say yes? Yes, I am ready. Turn to somebody, tell them, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for a miracle, right? I'm ready to be used by you, God. I'm ready to be overshadowed and filled with creative spiritual power. I'm ready for the supernatural and the miraculous to manifest in my life on an everyday occurrence. I'm ready. I'm ready to be filled with the miracle working power of God. I'm ready for God to use me to do a great and a mighty work in and through and as me now. I'm ready for my destiny. See, Mary had a destiny. Zechariah had a destiny. Elizabeth had a destiny. Joseph had a destiny. John the Baptist had a destiny. Jesus the Christ had a destiny. And you and I have a destiny. A destiny, friends. We have a destiny to be great. Not that we'll all be some great leader, because remember Martin said anybody can be great because anybody can serve. We have a destiny to be great, a destiny to express the best and the highest potential within us as the Christ. We have a destiny to do that. And a part of it is, I'm willing to let your divine power, your divine purpose for my life, God, be revealed to me. I'm willing to let your purpose be my purpose. I'm willing to let your divine call upon my life be a blessing to someone. I'm willing to be a light in this world. I'm willing to be overshadowed to such a degree that my limited sense of my being is eliminated and my Christ sense of self shines forth powerfully and beautifully. I give and offer my sacred yes. I say my yes. Zechariah said yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. Elizabeth said yes. John the Baptist said yes. Jesus said yes. See, God is trying to birth something beautiful in you, something powerful in your life. But not only do you have to say yes, you've got to let go of the consciousness that says it's not possible. You've got to let go of any fear. See, Zechariah, the angel said, let that fear go. You've got to let go of any fear that may come. I'm not enough. Who am I? I'm not big enough. I'm not great. Let go of the fear and have faith in God, because he is able to do miraculous things. You got to let go of all your questioning mind, the questioning mind. Let go of the how can this happen? How is none of your business. Right? You simply say yes, and your yes is enough for the presence of God to use you as a vessel for his purpose. But you've got to listen. Listen for the angels' voices. They're always speaking, giving you guidance and direction. You've got to be on the lookout. You've got to look for a miracle. Expect a miracle. Expect supernatural experiences to become ordinary for you. You've got to expect to be moved by grace to your right and perfect place. You've got to expect that God is working everything out for your life, that there's a divine plan, there's a destiny for you, and it's all orchestrated by God. You've got to expect that all of a sudden, most of all, you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to touch you, come upon you, touch your heart, overshadow you in such a way that you will be a shadow of your former self, and only the Christ in you will remain. We've been given one of the greatest gifts that we could ever be given. Christ in us, our hope of glory. So on this Christmas morning, I hope that you will truly allow the Christ to be born in you. I'm going to invite you to our Wednesday Christmas Eve candlelighting service, where we will finish the story. In the meantime, let your hearts be open and receptive. Be a ready vessel and have a blessed and wonderful holy season. Yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings.